Hey, Crystal, do you think we should make new friends?
And keep the old?
One is silver.
The other is gold.
Listen in to find out more.
Welcome to A Word from Our Outpost.
With Joseph and Crystal Gruber.
A podcast for Catholic disciples who are wrestling to be missionary-minded in their normal everyday lives.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Direct, O Lord, our actions by thy holy inspiration, and carry them on by thy gracious assistance, that every word and work of ours may begin in thee, and by thee be happily ended. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Just as a passing comment, I didn't know that was a song.
Yeah, that can be sung in a round. It's very fun.
I had only ever heard it as a quote.
And then the next verse is, the circle is round, it has no end. That's how long I want to be your friend.
Aww.
Yeah. Can we talk some more about friendship?
Well, the making of new friends especially, I thought,
yes,
would be good for this episode.
I would like that.
Do we want to talk a little bit about what precipitated our observations on this phenomenon?
Sure. So we've recently had the opportunity, because of some circumstances, to meet some families that are in a similar state of life as us, that are new to us, which is really fun. But we came to the town that we live in now to be missionaries to the parish that we live in. And we had this realization that if we had come to this town for other reasons, these probably would have been the first friends we would have made.
And maybe the only friends.
And we probably
would have. These people being the people that we've met recently who are in a similar state of life as us and have similar interests and similar approaches to family and parenting and all of that.
Yeah. But we're just meeting them now after 3 years. But we have friends here.
We do. We really do. Dear, dear friends.
And very few of them are in the same state of life as us.
Yeah. They aren't what you would sort of naturally pick out in a lineup. If you were to say, who would be Joseph and Crystal's friends here? You had a lineup of people from our parish, from the town of Jackson. I don't know if they would have picked these people out.
Yeah.
And yet, here we are, in friendship with them.
Yeah. And it's been really a huge gift. And I've found myself oftentimes in the last 3 years since we've been here, when I've talked to, I mean, especially college students that we worked with when they were college students who've now graduated and moved on and call us saying, how do I do this parish thing? And there's nobody my age here. And how do I make friends? I found myself again and again and again giving the advice, make friends with people that aren't your age. Go find a lady that looks twice your age at Mass that looks super cool and ask her if you can be friends. Or
at least make a first step.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we noted what precipitated our relationships with them? One, we moved here, right? In times of transition, these are times when we can make new friends. You, when we were preparing for this episode, you made the claim that we need to make new friends when we come to a new place. And I want to push back on that a little bit because I don't think people think that we do need to make new friends when we move to a new place anymore.
Especially with modern technology, keeping up with old friends is a very easy thing to do.
Or getting lost in technology and having technology replace our friends.
Yes. Yeah. And so I do think that it's true that the need when moving to a new place may be less felt because of technology. And so I would agree with that. But I do think that there is actually, I mean, even looking at the desire to use technology, right? It's being used because we have a felt need to connect with people. And this is a way where it feels like there's a low entry level for being able to connect with people. But at the end of the day, it's going to be not fully satisfying because we're incarnate beings and we need to connect with other incarnate beings in the flesh. So while I would be willing to concede that moving to a new place doesn't actually require creating new relationships, I would say that that is a poverty when that happens, and that there is actually a need that is going unmet if that happens.
And we live in a relatively mobile culture. People will pick up and move from their hometown or their home city to another city more readily now than most other times in history. And so the need seems more stark in that respect, and yet technology has muffled that need. I think when we look at other transition points in our lives, we can see how sad it would be if we didn't form new friends, right? So major transitions in life, being born, going to school, going to a different school, getting a job, getting a different job, moving. These are all moments when we're leaving some relationships behind other than being born. We're actually being ushered into a whole host of relationships when prior to that, unless we were twins or triplets or some such, we weren't relating to many people at all. Leaving that to the side. Sorry, I just had this image of Jacob and Esau wrestling in Rebecca's womb and just thinking that that wasn't a good relationship. They were probably better off with a little bit of elbow room.
Right from the beginning.
Right from the beginning. Anyway, in these moments of transition, how sad it would be if we didn't make friends, right? What is the question that parents ask their kids when they come home from school? Did you make any new friends? And how sad it is when the kid comes home and says, no, I didn't. I just played by myself. Or when someone goes to a new job that they were excited about and they don't talk to anyone and they just come home either to an empty house or maybe people are in the house and they're not working with other people. They're just working with things and the other people are there not to interact with in any meaningful way, but like the things to be used or to be used by. How sad that is.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we've created a good case for why it's a poverty to not make new friends.
I just wanted to make that case because I think maybe you were being presumptuous.
I think it's good to prove it out. So then there's another aspect of making new friends.
And this one gets me uncomfortable.
When we're not in a transition and we're not in a new place and when we're actually quite comfortable and enjoying the relationships that we do have, we might have a really full, rich life with lots of people actually physically and not feel like we have the time or the space or the room in our little hearts for more people. And I feel challenged by this as well. And I don't know that we are going to answer this one in and of itself, but I think just to put up the question of, you know, are there seasons where there actually isn't the space for someone new? I don't know. Maybe. But I do think that we should always be open to the possibility that there is space for someone new. I mean, in particular, just moving to a small town where people have literally said outright to me or agreed with the fact that they weren't planning on making new friends, which means nobody had space in their life for me, the new kid. And that was really sad and really hard for quite some time.
Well, and we heard from people that the last time they had to make new friends, some people here, was kindergarten.
They've had the same friends since kindergarten. And these are people that are now in their 30s and having children.
60s, 80s.
And 60s and 80s. And so to have an awareness that there might be somebody new around that needs a friend. But also, and I think sort of the heart of what we want to challenge with this episode is, when are we being called to step out of our comfort zone for the sake of another?
And I think when we consider our moments of transition, what we need then is a new friend to be aware of other people when they're in moments of transition and the kind of support and friendship they might be open to.
And to pose the question, if you're at a season in your life where you are quite stable and like as a listener and for us too, thinking about being in a season in our lives when we're more stabilized and we have friends that we enjoy spending time with and feel like we don't get to spend enough time with the people that we already know, what does it look like to keep our eyes open for a new person? So With that said,
I wanted to add a little aside at this point, if that's all right.
Okay.
Because the value of chance encounters, there is a value to chance encounters. Maybe I should put it that way. There are so many stories that are precipitated by chance encounters that change everything about people's lives. We had recently watched the movie Peanut Butter Falcon.
Which, if you haven't seen, it's super sweet. It's not terribly long. It's just a beautiful story. But the whole thing is precipitated by this chance encounter by these two very unlikely characters. Unlikely to each other, I suppose.
Unlikely in so many different respects. The moment at which they find each other is just a very intense moment for both of them.
Yeah, and so that's an example of a chance encounter. Brideshead Revisited is another example.
I think because a friend of mine watched the BBC miniseries, and he just got fixated on the scene when Sebastian first makes his entrance into Charles's life. Charles is in a first floor dormitory, and Sebastian is walking along drunk and leans through Charles's open window and just heaves out a riotous amount of vomit, a vomitous amount of riot into Charles's room. And it's because of that chance encounter that Charles's life is changed irrevocably. And then the other example that I came up with, because I didn't know this, but Crystal had never been exposed to the musical Wicked, which quite likely because I was in several musicals in high school, I became aware of. But there's the song when Glinda and What's-Her-Face, the Wicked Witch, are singing their goodbye. And their encounter, the fact that they became friends at all, was totally random. And they say, well, I don't know if I've been changed for the better, but because I knew you, I have been changed for good. It's a beautiful little song. Some parts of it a little bit weird, like when they apologize to each other for anything that you think that I might have done wrong. It's like, that's not an apology. That's flim-flam, ladies and gentlemen.
That's the real aside.
That is the real aside. Getting back to the heart of the aside is that the adventures that people can go on based on a chance encounter are manifold and unexpected and life-altering and life-stretching, right? None of these examples are of people who become more bitter or harder of heart because of it. They become more human because of these chance encounters, right? In these narrative examples, right, the person pulling the strings is the author or authors. And then believing in divine providence, we know that what we call chance is kind of a pagan holdover when we're really saying that God is a provident God. He provides for us. And one of the things he provides is a neighbor who can shake us out of our spiritual lethargy or out of our funk or out of our rut and enliven us in a way that we didn't expect.
Yeah, and so we want to talk practically speaking. We can't create a chance encounter, but we can be aware of them.
And then we can take a chance on an encounter.
Yeah. And so as we were preparing, we were just reflecting on the friendships that we do have now and that are unlikely and not what we would have intentionally sought out. Like we said, if we had moved here for a different reason than to be missionaries to this particular parish community, we were thinking about, okay, well, how did we make the friends that we have? And one of the first examples that came to my mind is there's a couple that husband and wife that have become very dear friends of ours, and they're the same age as our parents, about
roughly, yeah.
And we met the wife because she had bought a toy for her nieces and nephews that it turned out they already had. And then she had learned that this new family had moved to town, and so she called us up and said, hey, I got this. I think maybe she had found it on sale and couldn't return it or something. I don't remember all the details of it, but basically offered to give it to our family because she knew we had just moved here. And so I said, yes. And then I also invited her to come in for tea, and we got to hear her story, got to learn a little bit more about who she was and what she was about. And since then, we've developed a really beautiful friendship with them as a couple. They get along. Our children think they're riotous, good fun. And there was this encounter that could have happened that could have been really small that, thanks be to God, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, allowed for a door to be more open and more of a relationship to be pursued over time, which has been a great gift.
Yeah. I was reflecting back on some of the friendships I've developed here, and through a series of happenstance meetings, I got invited onto some random committee to help with the, quote, Catholic identity and mission of the Catholic schools here in town. And so I went to some of the meetings until I didn't get invited back. I don't know if the committee dissolved or if they just forgot to include me on emails. Regardless, I was at one of the meetings and I was passionately talking about some aspect of Catholic education, and one of the other guys was also passionately talking about it. And I thought, I should probably reach out to him. I should probably get his phone number, see if he'd be up for getting breakfast or coffee sometime, just seeing in him something of a kindred spirit. And so I took a chance. And I think one of the things, you know, reflecting back on our time here in town, is that we just needed to take a chance and take a next step. And yeah, it does turn a chance encounter into something we could take a chance on.
Yeah, and I think something that I often get really overwhelmed by the idea of this, because I think I don't have room in my life for anybody else. And so the idea of meeting somebody new or having to build a relationship with a new person, I get ahead of myself and I start imagining like having to be BFFs with this person. And
for some reason, imagining that that's going to be a chore.
Yeah. And it becomes overwhelming because I have really dear friends that I would like to keep in better touch with and things like that. And I think one of the things that, well, Joseph, that you keep encouraging me to, for one, it's almost like dating. Like, don't marry somebody in your imagination when you haven't even gone on a first date, right? Like, there's an emotional chastity even to friendship that I don't always have. But then also to realize that there are baby steps that we can take along the way and that people don't always respond to them.
They don't. And we can't have a better relationship with them than they're willing to reciprocate.
And that's okay. And to trust in God's providence that that the people that don't respond to us, that's okay. That's not up to us. And it's honestly probably not anything personal. Or if it is, then we're probably doing just fine without that relationship developing. But that also, it takes time to develop the relationships. And so to take those baby steps one at a time and not run away with the whole big picture makes
a huge... Great big leaps don't make friends all of the time. Sometimes, but most of the time, no. And these baby steps are... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, when those great big leaps do happen and there is like depth and breadth to a relationship really quickly... It's never been a chore. It's always been a tremendous blessing. I've always received as much or more than I've felt like I've given. And that has been communicated as being mutual. So it's like, what am I worried about? So we want to talk about...
Just in case people were wondering, what are these little chances we can take on someone? I think the first step, if we see someone, we're like, oh, I could probably reach out to them. I think praying for them right then and there and say, Lord, this person is not mine. I hope they are yours. And I hope to love them in the way that you want me to love them. And to just begin there.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, real quick, a beautiful story that goes with this first point that leads into the second one. I was talking with someone recently who goes to daily mass and had noticed a couple women that were also had started going to daily mass, and she was really curious about them and wanted to meet them and know who they're about. But there was just never an opportunity. She never saw them other than during mass, which is not the appropriate time. And so she told me, I just prayed. I said, God, if you want me to meet them, you're going to have to arrange for it. And she kept praying that for months. And then one day they were all getting out of their cars at the same time. And so she introduced herself.
And then that's the next step, just getting their name.
Yeah.
If we know their name, then we can take a chance sometime. And if they know our name, even better.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many times... It's happened to me both ways. Somebody will tell me their name and I'll just shake their hand and say, nice to meet you. And they'll look at me and be like, who are you though? Or I'll be the one who's introducing myself and they'll just shake my hand and say, nice to meet you. And like, and you are, sir?
My favorite is when people look at our children.
Oh,
and we try to introduce ourselves and they walk away.
Right. Oh, and what's the baby's name? Well, I'll tell you that, but...
What is your name?
And this is my name.
Do you care about my name? Yeah. So, praying for people, learning their names, the next step, which can... All these things can take time. These things can all happen in a matter of moments. These things can literally be separated by months, maybe probably even more.
You could find some way to contact them, like their phone number. I know that's a little bit old school.
Getting crazy. Good. Maybe you can get their Instagram or Facebook handle or TikTok or Marco Polo or whatever, but you can get some form of contact information.
Or their address, and you can go and knock on their door later and say hi, send them scones. I don't know.
Might be more appropriate if you're like actually physically living in the same neighborhood. Yeah, so getting contact information.
And then following up.
Let's get
that.
Crazy.
Using it.
Use it.
Use the contact information to contact them.
Yeah. And
what kind of contact should it be? That might be good to say a lot. Just a text saying, hi, how are you? Might be a little bit weird. Or a phone call just saying, hey,
Nice to meet you. I mean, that can be a good first step. But if there's something that you're going to, maybe you could invite them.
Or you could follow up on something from the conversation. I met a fellow a couple of weeks ago, and he said he had an unpublished manuscript of an author that I would love to read. And so I got his phone number, but I still haven't gotten the manuscript. And I only realized that a couple of days ago, but I haven't used it because there's been, like, reasons, you know, reasons for not using it.
And you know, I think oftentimes, like, write this out and I go through this and even sing it right now. I'm like, oh, I don't want to be patronizing. But I also, like, I don't do these things. I need to be reminded. And Joseph will do this, like, do you have your phone? If I meet someone new, will you get their phone number? Like, oh. Well, this is one of my favorite tricks. There was a gal that I met recently and I'm taking a ballet class and she's in my ballet class. And I didn't remember her name. And I didn't even try. I don't know what my problem was, but I didn't, and I didn't remember. And then I got to chatting with her afterwards, and it turned out she was really sweet, and I did want to invite her to something that I thought would be good to invite her to, but I couldn't even remember her name. But I told her about the thing, and I was like, hey, can you give me your phone number? Will you just put your contact information in my phone for me so that I have the right spelling of your name? And then I've been doing that
quite a bit.
Now I know her name. But yeah, and I think with this, it's been really freeing for me to realize I'm already doing this thing. It actually doesn't take any more time out of my life to invite her to this thing that I'm already doing that she clearly would be a good fit for should she want to come.
Yeah, if I was paying attention to the person's interests, if I was paying attention to the reason that we met in the first place, then it should be easier to come up with content. So a long time ago, we did a series of podcasts on the college campus and how just staggeringly obvious that people in the same class probably have a lot in common and reasons to get together, such as, I'm spending a ridiculous amount of money to learn from this professor that you too are spending a ridiculous amount of money to learn from. Right? Like that is automatically something. You know, people who are working for the same company, this company has these values and these ideals. I wonder if this person has this vision and these ideals.
Another thing that's occurring to me is I'm just thinking of seasons in my life where I didn't have things to invite people to. And I think that those are also seasons of my life where I was not actually thriving or living in pursuit of being a Catholic disciple who was wrestling to be missionary minded. And so that's maybe something to consider. I'm just realizing is, okay, if there have been seasons in my life where I would look back and say, I have nothing to invite anyone to, that in and of itself was maybe a bigger and different problem than...
I'm nodding silently.
Yeah. And so, maybe that's sort of a question to ponder if you're listening to this, dear listener.
Well, I don't do anything that I could invite them to. Well, first off, you must have done something because you encountered them. And second off, why aren't we doing anything? That's a good question. Even things like, I just found out that Hillsdale College has a new course coming out about mathematics and logic. I want to watch that course. Only now, after I've pressed record on a podcast that we're going to publish, did I just realize maybe I have other friends who would, or potential friends, who'd be interested in watching alongside me.
Yeah. Or even, and so things that have some sort of regularity to them, like watching a course that's going to be several lessons long, or show even, you know, if you're watching TV even, you can invite people to watch shows with you. That's a thing. But then I would also say you can do one-off things. So having a bonfire, just having a family over, like you eat meals, having people share a meal.
Pretty good odds that other people eat meals too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, all of that to say, using their contact information to make contact, take a chance, and then let them respond.
They might say no, or they might not respond at all. And it might be because life is crazy and they have 37 unread text messages.
Or more. And then we can give them another chance if we want to, right? Like getting out of our comfort zone, it's a risky business. We take chances. In the grand scheme of things, the chances are not that great, right? Like we're risking rejection, which by default, anything that we don't invite them to, they already are not going to. So it doesn't change things very much. Or we risk developing a real relationship with someone who pushes us and gets us out of our comfort zone more and more. That's what we're taking a chance on. And so after they've responded, we get to choose. Do we want to try again?
And this is where we can circle back to prayer too. Just talking to the Lord about, okay, is there someone you want me to reach out to? Or no?
Yeah. I feel like on one level, this is a pretty basic episode. I feel like on another level, after a year or so of pandemic, it might be worth just getting back to the basics and saying, no, friendship is still important. There are still ways to reach out to people. We still need connection with other people. Mm-hmm. We're not as human when we're alone.
Yeah, and maybe I'm finding a challenge to myself for reconnection, right? So people that I maybe... Ooh. A list of people is flooding to my mind that have been sort of holed up because of the pandemic and thinking about creative ways, especially as it's getting nicer outside. I mean, I know there's one family in particular that's coming to mind that have had good reasons to be really careful and really pretty isolated that has expressed that they would be comfortable coming to a bonfire where they can be outside and where they can have a lot of space. Like, wait, we should do that.
Yeah. And this is a good time to take a look through our contact list, to write a list of the people we know where around where we live, and to say, like, I can take a chance. There is a risk, right? There are all sorts of different contagions out there, some of which are bacterial and viral, others of which are vicious or virtuous.
I also even worry with children. They have children, and are they going to be a bad influence on my? There's risks. There's just always risks. But when we approach these things with prayer and with love, the risks are worth taking.
And with that, take a look at your contacts. Take a look at who's in your life and who you maybe have not given a chance to. And I invite you to take that to prayer, dear listener. That's our call to action. As an aside, if you want to rate or review or subscribe or share this episode, you may feel free to do so. But really and truly, we want this podcast to be a springboard for you into deeper connection with those around you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, I just lift up our listeners to you. We lift up ourselves to you that we might live the incarnation, that we might be people who are willing to take the risk of encountering other people, and we might be willing to share our lives with the people that you desire us to share our lives with, even in the littlest of ways. We ask all this in your holy name. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Take my hand, let's be on our way. And now, finally, I can say that I love you. Yes, I love you.
From our outpost to yours, thanks for listening. And a special thanks to John Mark Skoch.
That's S-K-O-C-H.
For the music.
Check him out on Spotify.